Doug Wright Show on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
So good to have you along here at KSL News Radio, and I wanted to give you a heads up. Representative Jason Chaffetz will be joining us. We're going to focus especially on terrorism, where we stand with ISIS, reaction to the president's comments yesterday and today. We'll be talking with Jason coming up at 10:20. And then also, decreasing recidivism within our penal system. Representative Eric Hutchings, Republican of Kearns, has some interesting thoughts and an idea on this that we will be sharing with you. We've got a lot of things coming up on the Doug Wright Show at KSL News Radio. I really appreciate Glenn Bailey spending some time with us from the Crossroads Urban Center. He's its executive director, and we have a very good relationship here at KSL. We have been very pleased to, through our Quarters for Christmas campaign, provide shoes through them for so many people. So I appreciate what they do, and we are big fans of Crossroad Urban Center here at KSL. At the same time, it distresses me to see them pull out of this coalition. And so we thought we would talk with both sides on this today, and I'm very pleased to have former State Senator Scott Howell joining us on the program today. And Scott, it's good to have you join us on the program.
Hey, thanks, Doug. I really appreciate the invitation. It's great to be here. And I was just up here at the Capitol. I was thinking back about how the media finally burst in the Capitol during the legislative session.
And we weren't exactly welcome except by you Democrats. What's the deal?
Well, I think there might have been a few Republicans, but, you know, if we let the press in there, they kept telling me, you know what, they'll expose things. And I said, really? They'll expose things?
Yeah, and they weren't talking about us being up there in trench coats. They were talking about other things. You know, if it wasn't for Scott Howell, who was the Democratic leader on Capitol Hill in that era, and allowing us to run a cord into, I'm not kidding, his fax machine, we wouldn't have been able to do those broadcasts. And we were back there on the Hill this year, Scott. So you helped facilitate and start that. What's the skinny? What's unfolding with the Pioneer Park Coalition?
Well, first of all, we are so appreciative of you inviting us to participate. And once and for all, we want to set the record straight. And that's why I'm such a big believer in that constitutional amendment, that freedom of the press. And so thank you for having us on. Let me give you a quick history of how this all came about. We, at our last coalition meeting, had announced to the team that we were going to meet with the governor. Excuse me, let me back up. It was two meetings ago that we said we're going to meet with the governor and we're going to ask for $1 million appropriation to be applied through the Olean Walker Trust Fund. And we took that as a board and we asked all those in attendance if they'd support us on that. Then Josh at our last meeting stood up and also said, please come and join us at the Appropriations Committee meeting. It was last week. We want the coalition members because we are going to ask for $1 million. And we think that that's really critical to the sustaining of the Pioneer Park Coalition. So in preparation for our presentation, we got a very detailed message from the chairman of the Appropriations Committee that said, in addition, we've asked you to have your itemized budget, a presentation, funding, partners, a time frame, so on and so forth, and how you will measure success if we give you this money. So our executive director put together a flyer, and Doug, we sent that to you, and it's called the Pioneer Park Coalition, and it's a flyer, and we gave a brief overview of who we were, the Pioneer Park Coalition. We talked about opportunity, responsibility, security, and then per the instructions of the legislative fiscal analyst, we listed 86 of our members because we couldn't put on all 256. And included in that was the Crossroads Urban Center and the Miller Group and the Nation Development Council, the Utah Jazz, Salt Lake City Police, blah, blah, blah. So on our presentation, we also emphasized why we put housing first, and then we did a review of what housing would cost for 100 units. And then we listed possible site locations. And on that, we had put down more than 20 sites in Salt Lake County identified, and then we put two specific ones that were on the west side. And then we put first Housing First projected funding, and then we put a timeline, and then we put a performance metric. We said success will not be defined solely by the number of individuals who are taken off the street and placed in meaningful housing. Success will be defined by the number of individuals who are housed that obtain identification, employment, continue mental health treatment, and gain independency inside the community. So that was our presentation. Now, let me just give you some history real quick on the possible site locations, and you'll really like this because it sets the record straight. About a year ago, The Road Home and Jesus Saves, the rescue mission, we asked them to go with us on a fact-finding tour to find out what they would propose as sites. So we had a realtor that took us around, and it was a fact-finding mission, and we found a couple of sites. We looked at them. Now, this was a year ago, and we asked both the Road Home and the rescue mission CEOs, what do you need? They said, well, the only housing we'll support you on is if it's on a major track or transportation there, a grocery store, blah, blah, blah. So these two tracks that were identified, we listed in this. But the ironic thing is we never have said, never, ever, that's where it should go. So our coalition in the presentation when we set this up there, somebody, and by the way, Salt Lake City was with us on that fact-finding gathering tour, and somebody got that and said, oh, the coalition is trying to move permanent housing and put it out there. False, false, false. We have never said that. We went on a fact-finding, and when we found out that, actually, we're meeting with Kyle LaMalfa, he said, you know, Scott, those places don't meet urban blah, 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 and we said, okay. So that's the first thing, but we needed in our presentation to be transparent and tell the truth that we'd gone out fact-finding. So to put this all to bed, those two sites, we talked to a realtor the other day, and one of them's not even there anymore, and the other one the price has been taken off the market, so we don't even know what's going on. So the Pioneer Park Coalition is not telling what the sites are, and we didn't go out to all the community because there was no reason to create drama because we were not participating in that. We actually want the money to come through the Olene Walker Trust Fund. And if it comes through the Olene Walker Trust Fund, then we will be able, the trust fund will do the administration of the site and do all those type of things. So that's kind of where we are on the whole initiative and what's going on. So our coalition was kind of really surprised when Crossroads sent this note to us. I mean, we'd refute almost all of what they said, but we really are in a position where if they want to be part of us, they can be. If they don't, they don't have to be. We have almost 300 members of the coalition that when we do meet, you know, we say, are you in favor of this or are you not in favor of it? So that's a quick history, and that should set everything straight. Now, the good news is that we, in the Appropriations Committee, the chair said, you were the most organized, you had done the most homework, and we appreciate your leadership. And we made the cut for the first million. Now we've got two more iterations, as you know, right, the bill of bill.
Scott, could,
go through that.
Could I ask you to hang in with us for one more segment? Can you do that?
Sure.
Okay, let's take a break and let's kind of pick up at this point. What is likely to happen next? What is still to come? And what are some of the goals and hopes now that you've passed that hurdle for the Pioneer Park Coalition? All of that and more, it's coming up here on today's Doug Wright Show.
The Doug Wright Show. Top newsmakers only Doug has access to. Answering questions only Doug can ask. On KSL News Radio.
I see this as a real critical issue for Salt Lake City and Salt Lake County and for all of us who come into this beautiful capital city. And I thought Mayor Becker just put it so well when we were talking about Pioneer Park one day, and he said, this is truly one of the jewels of the city. It is the largest green space within the city. Most people, I hope, know just how enormously significant Pioneer Park is to the history. There are three main squares that really are of paramount importance. First of all, and I'll let you put them in whatever order, but from a historic point of view, Pioneer Park might be the crown jewel among them all. But there's Pioneer Park, there's Temple Square, and there's Washington Park, or Washington Square, which is where the city and county building is. Those three squares, those three areas of the city, are arguably the most significant, the most important. And what will the future of Pioneer Park be, especially with where we want the city to grow, what we want it to be, and with this huge piece of green space there? And boy, you know, kind of the old thing about land, buy land now because they're not making any more. When it comes to green space in Salt Lake City, we need to be extremely careful with it, value it highly, and make it available to everyone. That's why this coalition is so important, and that's why I so appreciate not only Glenn Bailey joining us earlier, but also Scott Howell, who is one of the chairs of the commission, along with Josh Romney. And let's talk about the future. You mentioned you passed this first hurdle, at least on Capitol Hill, for this $1 million through the Olin Walker Fund with great success. Where does it go next, Scott?
It goes to the Executive Appropriations Committee, where they hear it, and then it goes to the Bill of Bills. And if that passes those two hurdles, the last is the governor to sign it. But we believe the governor will sign it since he put it in his budget.
Well, that's good news, isn't it? When something is already budgeted for, and it's just a matter of proving the viability of pulling it all off, that's a huge hurdle to overcome. Has damage been done by Crossroads Urban Center pulling out?
You know, Doug, I can't speak for them, but as I listened to Glenn, you know, he said our biggest goal was to get them all to move, and just the note he sent out, he talked about we have this executive committee that makes all the decisions. We have 11 people on our executive committee representing all different groups and interests. And no, it's not hurting us at all. In fact, we believe that as we continue on our mission of having opportunity, connecting to the community, to give jobs and resources to those in need, responsibility, creating efficiency, accountability through Mayor McAdams' collective impact and personal empowerment. And then the last has been our motto is security, achieving public safety. So when you walk down there, you have personal and economic development can flourish. And I think your point earlier was so well put about too much concentration. But we support Mayor Becker's initiative on the relocation of the homeless services. I'm sure the Urban Crossroads, whatever they believe, but no, it doesn't hurt us at all. And in fact, in Glenn's letter that he sent to us, he said, we'd still like to be a part of it, but don't use our name. And we can't for the life of us imagine why they would not want us to use their name when we are getting $1 million for permanent supportive housing for our most those in the most need. It's perplexing to us.
It's interesting. You know, Glenn, and I don't want to, we'll have more conversations, I'm sure, but he said something very interesting to me that really got my attention. He said, you know, the homeless deserve to be in a, I can't remember exactly how he put it, but the spirit of it was in a neighborhood environment and so on. And I thought, well, you know, I absolutely agree with that 100%. And I thought if I were to choose a spot right now, as far as convenience is concerned, as far as if a church is nearby, if a grocery store is nearby, if there is transportation nearby and a community environment and different things of that nature, actually, I think, and again, whether it's a west side or an east side location, I'm going to try to, you know, move beyond that. But I thought of that location out there. I thought, good heavens, you're right on what many people are hoping will be the Grand Boulevard into Salt Lake City from the airport. There is indeed tracks there, bus service there. You're close to the Fair Park. You are also very close to religious facilities of various kinds, including an LDS ward house that is very, very close, that and there isn't one really, really close to where the shelters are right now. I think of grocery stores. Boy, you right just up the street, and I can think of about three in that area. So I'm just it sounds like maybe it's a little bigger issue for them. Maybe it is their fear that the goal is to move everything, including them, out of that area.
Well, I'll tell you, Doug. Right now, we know everything you just articulated is not happening with the homeless because they're not in that situation now, and they haven't been for a long time. And again, I want to reemphasize, the Olene Walker Trust Fund is the right place to put the dollars because developers have to go out and find the sites. They have to find the majority of the financing. They have to do the zoning. They have to do the planning. And then they come to the Olene Walker Fund and say, would you loan us the money for this? So that we don't have a dog in that fight. And I want to commend Councilman Rogers. He called me, and we had a very good conversation about because a lot of this is in his district. And after I explained to him everything, he said, Scott, we support you, and we support what you're doing. And I think this misunderstanding about the sites. But again, Doug, we had to go on a fact-finding trip to find out. Now, these sites are not on the table. Well, I mean, like I said, one of them is—they're not even available anymore.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, that's a big problem that we have, and we are really committed to making the process work. It's completely open. You know, the craziness of this is the number of people that are misinformed. We hope that Crossroads will look at our presentation with a thorough eye and see that we listed them on there and we went for $1 million. And if their board of directors does not want to have $1 million and they don't want to be associated with that, that's their decision. That's not ours.
Yeah. Scott, we are going to look for more opportunities to follow up on this as it progresses. As I mentioned, I see this as a huge issue for the future of the capital city of Utah here in the Crossroads of the West. It is a most significant area. I appreciate your efforts. I appreciate Glenn's efforts. And I'm anxious to see what ultimately happens, and we'll look for more opportunities to chat.
Doug, thank you so much. And just know that the Pioneer Park Coalition is committed to making it better for our brothers and sisters. And we believe with all of our heart, we can end homelessness as it is today and have productive, effective, efficient citizens back in productive opportunities. That is our ultimate goal.
Scott, again, thank you so much for joining us here at KSL News Radio. Scott Howell on The Doug Wright Show.